Well, this morning we had to get through the tough part. And we saw that human learning, depraved learning, produces wicked results. And we read through those wicked results. Let's read our text again from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, the educational system of any country, this, or any other country in the world, cannot produce spiritual results. If you believe that the more education that a person has, the better able they are to understand God, you're woefully mistaken. It has been my observation over the years that the more education people receive, specifically religious education, the more they want to deny the power of God in the Scripture. And that's not always the case, but many of them. But depraved learning also produces a worthless religion. You'll notice there in verse 5 through 8, it says, having a form of godliness, that is, an appearance of godliness. The Church of Jesus Christ that is visible in this world today is quite different from the Church of Jesus Christ that actually knows Christ. I know R.G. Lee used to say that, and I certainly hope that's not true here, he said that in an average church, that probably 20 out of 100 were Christians. And that's a sad commentary. Y'all do know who R.G. Lee was, don't you? How many of you heard of him? Yeah, I knew you'd know. He was a good Southern Baptist, wasn't he? But a lot of folks are baptized, and because they're baptized, they think they're a Christian. I know a doctor, if he's still living over in Greenville, a medical doctor who had to re-educate himself, and it's take too long to go into all that, but he said that he used to listen to this preacher on the radio. This fellow wasn't from around here, he was from up in Connecticut or somewhere. But he used to listen to this preacher on the radio. And he said, you know, he said, I kind of like what the fellow said, but said he kept harping on evolution. Evolution. Evolution was of the devil. Evolution came out of hell and all this kind of stuff. So he said, I called down to the radio station and I asked him, how can I get a hold of this fellow? He said, I'm going to straighten him out on evolution. Well, he said, he does a live broadcast. Just come on down here, and you can meet him after he does his broadcast. So he said, I went down there, and he said, that's the hardest-headed man I ever seen in my life. He said, no matter what I presented to him to prove evolution, he said, he just simply said, it ain't so. And he said, we went many sessions. He said, I tried to convince him. And he said, one day, he said, he opened up his Bible over there, and where Jesus said, from the beginning made he them male and female. And he turned it around there, and he pushed it over to me, he said, and he said, now you read it. And he said, I read it. And he said, so what? He said, who said that? He said, well, it says Jesus said that. He said, will you take Jesus or will you take evolution? And he said, this old Episcopalian that had been baptized at birth and thought I was a Christian all my life, he said, the Holy Spirit got under my skin, and he said, I couldn't get away from that to save my life. And he said, finally, I took Jesus. And he said, then afterward, he said, being a medical doctor, he said, I've been practicing medicine 27 years. Never cured one person, he said. You'd be surprised, that's about true of 100% of them. But in any event, he said, I realized that the problem was my education was, it was depraved. It was all based on evolution. Evolution was the foundation of everything I studied. He said, but evolution's a lie, so my education's a lie. So he said, I had to re-educate myself. So he said, I did. I re-educated myself, and then I went into practice as an allergist. He said, if you go into practice, into general practice, as a person who knows the Word of God and knows Christ, and you're educated in the body and what really helps the body instead of all these pills that I've been handing out for 27 years, he said, they'll take your license away from you. Yes, sir. But he said, if you go into business as an allergist, he said, you can tell people to eat one spoon of dirt every day and said they'll never touch you. He said, doesn't make a difference. They'll accept whatever you say if you're an allergist. So if you want a real doctor, look for a Christian allergist. But anyway, he had a form of religion. He was born into an Episcopalian family, and I'm not kicking the Episcopalians because I've known some that were Christians. Okay? Right. But being baptized as a baby or at any time in your life does not make you a Christian. Following the tenets of any church does not make you a Christian. I mean, I could be a Catholic priest standing up here, and you could be down there, and I'd be handing you that wafer and that thing, and you thinking that's the body and the blood of the Lord, which it isn't. But that won't make you a Christian. None of that will make you a Christian. That is a form of religion. That's what it is. But it denies the power of God. And so these folks we're surrounded by in this world today, the majority who say they are Christians, I'm talking about the numbers of denominations, they say they're Christian denominations, but they don't follow the Word of God. They don't believe in the power of God. I mean, I think I told you about that fellow, the Methodist archbishop that said that Jesus didn't bodily rise from the grave, did he? No. No, just his influence came out of the grave. Well, unless that man got saved before he died, he's in hell today. Because according to the Apostle Paul, you have to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you have to confess him with your mouth, you see. And the confession is not the salvation. The confession means that the salvation has occurred and you confess it before men, because you have to confess that salvation before men and live it before them. That's what real religion is, not having a form. Now he speaks of Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. Now, does anybody know who Jannes and Jambres was? Raise your hand. Well, I'm not surprised, because the Bible doesn't mention them any other place. And so I had to read up on that a little bit myself. In old Jewish writings, you find these names. And these, they say, were the two magicians who were in Pharaoh's court who opposed Moses. And you remember, as I believe the pastor said recently, they threw their snake down and it, threw their stick down and became a snake, just like Moses. Now, where did they get their power from? Well, we don't have to go into that because I'm sure you know. But he said, these folks are like Jannes and Jambres. You see, they are deceivers. Deceivers. They were trying to deceive the Pharaoh into believing that Moses was no different than they were. And that's the way these religions are, that are false, and that say, we're Christian, but the church is open. If you're an openly active homosexual, you just come on, you can join this church, you see. If you're a drunk and you stay drunk all the time, they'll receive anybody. Maybe there's some drunks here, but I don't think so. I don't believe there is, but I'm saying that by way of showing you that there is a religion which has no power. The only power that there is in this book right here and the Holy Spirit that gave it to mankind. That's the only power there is in religion. Now, in verse 8, he says, they're reprobate concerning the faith. Now, the word reprobate there means it's unfit or worthless. It was used to describe metal. If you had metal that was worthless and useless after it went through the foundry, it was reprobate. That's what that word means. And you see, reprobate, worthless concerning the faith. Depraved learning produces a worthless religion, because that's what it is. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's my heart. That's your heart. That's every heart. Now let's talk about disabled learning. He said that they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what I'm going to say here tonight to you may upset some of you. If it does, pray for me and I'll pray for you. But we will continue to fellowship, because man cannot come to God through his own heart and mind. Did you know that? It's not possible. There are many say, who I've heard say and testify about when they found God. Let me tell you, you nor I nor anyone else who has believed in Jesus ever found God. It was God that found me. It was God that found you. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, he wasn't seeking God. He thought he was worshiping God. He had a false religion. He had a religion, but he denied the power, because the power was in Jesus. And he was a Jesus denier. And Saul did not find Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, read the book. Forget what anybody says, forget what anybody tells you or any book tells you, and read this book and you'll learn about God. Jesus found Saul. And it was Jesus who initiated everything. He first blinded him, didn't he? And he spoke to him. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? And Saul said, what? What did he say? Who are you, Lord? He did not know Jesus. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And so Jesus finds us. We are not able. And the word there never means absolutely not. And the next word, able, means to be capable, strong and powerful, to be able, have power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources, or of a state of mind, or through favorable circumstances, or by permission of law or custom. Now, add the two together, and what does it say? It is not possible
you nor I have no ability to come to the knowledge of the truth. No one has that knowledge within themselves. Depraved learning will not bring you to that point, nor anyone else. This is disabled learning. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Now, the natural man, if you read there in Corinthians, you'll find that it says he's without the Spirit. He's natural. No Spirit. He's dead in sin. And he understands not. And the Bible also says, neither can he know them. The ability to know spiritual things is completely impossible to the natural man. And so I'm saying all of that to say, how do we come to God? Well, we're going to get to that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See? The natural man's ability spiritually has been disabled by who? By Satan. That's what it says. I want to read you out of John chapter 8. Listen, John chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters. I love it. He confronts the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, "Ye," and we looked at this Wednesday evening, "you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Listen to this. Now listen. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Anybody who is not of God cannot hear God's word. They may hear the words that I speak here, but they don't receive them into their heart, and they cannot act upon them. They're spiritually dead. That's what the scripture says. Dead, blind, slaves. I mean, we could go through a whole list of things that the natural man is. And yet there are people who say, "I'm going to give an invitation. I'm not making fun of that. But I know, heard this fellow, and he said, I'm going to give an invitation, and you may not believe that Jesus can save you, but you just come on down and try." Worthless religion. Disabled learning. That's what it is. Because if you're not of God, you don't hear his words. Jesus said what? He said, my sheep, hear my voice, and they follow me. But if you're not his, you can't hear him. That's what it says in the book. Now, I can't change that. That used to be what preachers preach, but that's not so much what preachers preach anymore, even in Baptist churches, unfortunately. Now, there's divine learning. The knowledge of the truth. That's divine learning. In Matthew chapter 16, he saith unto them, Jesus, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, listen to this, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If you know Jesus Christ, it's because God in heaven has revealed him to you. And he has initiated that action, not you. You cannot believe until first God enlightens you. Salvation is instantaneous, but it's still a process. And there can be no receiving Christ and no believing in Christ until you're enlightened, until God touches you and puts that ability within you. Otherwise, you're lost and doomed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Listen, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, or but by the Spirit of God. You see, you can't know God. It's impossible. We can present the gospel, and we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to preach that Jesus came, that he lived a sinless life, that he bore our sins and died on the cross, that he rose from that grave bodily, and that he ascended into heaven. That's the gospel. But only the Spirit of God could make you understand that. God is the only source of spiritual understanding. It does not come through learning. You can't go to seminary and learn. You can't go to Clemson University and learn. You can't go to Furman University and learn. You can't go to any school, anywhere, and learn the things of God. You can learn facts and figures. You know, knowing Christ is not necessarily being a Christian. Did I say that? Jesus was casting out demons, and the demons spoke to him, and they said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Have you come to torment us before the time? And James says, you say that you believe in one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, there's a difference in knowing what's written on a piece of paper and having the living and sovereign God say it. There's a world of difference theologically. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. Now, let me get a drink of water here. If you haven't understood this already, please do, and love me anyway. I'm a maverick. I don't have, nor do I follow, a system of interpretation that has been developed by man. My system of interpretation is, this is God's word, every bit of it. I believe it. It doesn't contradict itself, even though man may say it does. It does not contradict itself. It's to be taken literally, unless it says otherwise. Okay? Jesus taught in parables. Okay? That's the difference. And that's how I look at scriptures. And he says here, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you want to learn about God, you're not going to get it out of some, I hate to say this, but some quarterly. You're going to get it out of that book. And it's only going to come, that knowledge is only going to come to you through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Not any other means. There are no other means. In Acts chapter 17, it was said of those at Berea that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's what it says. Now, we're going to get into something else. Faith is not the creation of a human mind. It's God's gift to all who believe. The natural mind, the human mind, does not conjure up faith. You don't get up enough faith, now I've got enough I can believe. That's not the way it is. That's not what it says. I don't know if I've got it written down here. Not I do, so I'll get to it. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the learning of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See? Human learning does nothing for us. There are people around this world who cannot, they do not speak our language, and they cannot read, and they cannot write, but they can hear a preacher preach in their language. And it is not human learning that brings them to Christ. It is God himself as he enlightens them and by his Spirit saves them. And before you and I could say, Lord, I believe, he had to put in us the gift of faith to believe. Now think about that. That's what this book teaches. I don't know what anybody else teaches, but I know that's what the book teaches. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, talking about education, the Apostle Paul was highly educated. In his day, he had the highest education you could get, just like Moses did. Highly educated. But after the Lord saved him, and the Lord intervened in his life and made him Paul the Apostle, where did he go? He went to Arabia. And he stayed there, by his own words, 3 years. And you know what Paul had to do in Arabia? He had to forget his education. He had to forget all of that he had learned and all of that that he was practicing as religion. And Christ himself, Paul said, taught me what I speak. Don't depend on education. It's a weak reading. The Savior is the source of truth, the knowledge of the truth. In John 1 and 17, it says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. He is the source. In John chapter 14, and you know this, and you can quote it with me, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't come to the Father through Buddha. President Bush, the lesser, the younger, I call him the lesser myself. After the Twin Towers were bombed and burned, and he finally came out in public, he said, trying to build unity, he said, "You know, the great religions of the world," and this is on tape, video, "the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Jews, and the Christians, we're all going to the same place by a different route." And yet people said what a great Christian he was. You can't be a Christian and believe in any other thing. Believing in Christ is unique, and it is the only way to heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, and again, you know these verses well. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." What did it say? Say it with me. "And that not of yourselves." By grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. I can't give myself any credit for being a child of God. For only God played the role. Only God. "None of works, lest any man should boast." Grace is the prerogative of God. God can give grace, or God can withhold grace. And this book is replete with many examples of God withholding grace. In Romans chapter 9, Paul talks about grace. Scripture with Scripture, he said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." And believe me, you can study it four ways from next week, but the word "hate" there means hate. God hated Esau. He hated him. And yet preachers stand in the pulpit every week and say, "God loves every person that's ever lived." No. If that were true, then that would not be in Romans. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The word "world" does not mean every person without exception. There have been those whom God hated. You can go in the Old Testament, you find where it says God hates the wicked. Seven things hath God hated, and he names off a bunch of people. So I'm saying to you, we're to present the gospel, but the results are not ours to determine, or to write down on a piece of paper and say, "We baptized this many, and this many were saved." God at the judgment seat will reveal who were saved and who were not saved. The tares and the wheat. Jesus said,
let them grow together. I separated the hearts.
I don't know where you stand tonight, and that's not my responsibility to know that. My responsibility is to preach God's word. Grace does not come because we believe. Grace is God's. He gives it to whoever he wants to, and he withholds it from those he wishes. That's what this book says. You can look in Romans chapter 9 there if you want. It says in verse 18 of Romans 9, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. What did he tell Moses? Go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But when you get down there now, I have hardened his heart and he won't let them go. Isn't that what the scripture says? Now, I've discussed this with some folks, and they said, but Pharaoh hardened his own heart. That's what it means. I said, that's not what it says. You and I are not to have a private interpretation of this book. That's what it says. The scriptures are no private interpretation. We are to believe them as they are written, and we're to act upon them as they are written. The Bible says a leopard cannot change his spots. And those who are lost cannot save themselves. I want to read you a quote. I read the most precious story in a news article this week about this lady who, when she was a teenager and her daddy was a preacher, she got pregnant out of it. And she said, after about 5 months, when it began to be noticeable, I had to tell my daddy. And she said, I went and we sat down together, and she said, I told him. And said, he hung his head and just put his head in his hands and just sat there, seemed like forever. And said, then he raised up and he said, well, God has given me more to love. Not an abortion, but a baby to love. And that's one of the most precious things I've ever read. I would have read it to you, but I don't think I could have. She said, I learned the meaning of grace. Said, we can show grace too. We can show grace to people that don't deserve to be liked, that don't deserve to be helped, but we can show grace, and that makes us like God. And I want to read you what this lady said. She said, a leopard cannot change its spots, but I assure you that a caterpillar can turn into a beautiful butterfly. God can save, and only God can save. God, through grace and faith, brings us to Christ. Only through his grace, which is his to give or withhold, can we know him. Have you ever noticed over there in the book of Revelation, and this is not a point of doctrine, this is an observation. The New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven. And it gives the dimension, doesn't it? He's got it set up for a certain number. All who believe. All who receive. But we can't do it without him. And I know the words together are not used in the scripture, but God praises us. The
owns our life. He saved us from being killed Friday evening. He is the great sovereign. He's our Lord. He's Jesus, our